2017. Three men joined together in a pact to see what they could collectively do to advance civilization, further the cause of world peace, and elevate mankind. These three men were internationally renowned musician and Linkin Park multi-instrumentalist Dave Phoenix Ferrell, multiple PGA Tour champion and world-class golfer Brendan Steele, and Mark. They named themselves the Members, those who they chose to sit with and ponder the mysteries of the universe. They named the Guests. What you're about to listen to is one of those historic conversations. Welcome to the Member Guest Podcast. Welcome to Member Guest.
Like the man said in the intro, welcome, welcome one, welcome all to Member Guests. Today we've got some awesome guests. Hey, we're doubling up. With me as always, though, we've got Brendan, the Thunder from Down Under, Steel.
I'm from Down Under now.
It just rhymed.
With thunder? Where'd you get thunder?
I don't know. Doesn't it work kind of with
sure.
Steel? And we have Mark, the Lightning, who is rather frightening. Fiori. That one kind of worked because the F's.
Yeah. I like that.
And he is frightening.
The alliteration.
He's rather frightening.
Rather frightening.
All right. We have no idea what we're doing, so let's go ahead and introduce the guests and get this thing going.
We have two guests today. Buckle up. It's going to be awesome. Our first guest, he was born in Culver City and grew up with L.A. in his veins. In the fall of 1996, as a young man, he stepped onto UCLA's campus, bringing with him a sharp intellect, a rapier's wit. Is that a real thing?
You said it right. Definitely.
Wanted the word rapier in there.
Yeah. It works.
Film school rapist. Theater. Yes.
Not rapist. Rapier.
Rapier. Yes.
Film school rapier.
I was a college rapier.
Bringing with him a sharp intellect, a rapier's wit, a meal card for Sunset Commons, and a dream. He soon met Dave, the philosopher's stone, Ferrell. I wasn't Phoenix yet, so...
No.
And as a philosophy major...
There's a lot of nicknames on this show.
And a wonderful friendship was born. After finishing at UCLA, he went on to roles and guest spots in TV shows like Popular, Frasier, ER, Las Vegas, CSI Miami, and Bones. You're not the first person on this podcast who's been on Bones, just so you know.
What? You were on Bones?
We can get into that.
We will.
Almost everybody on Earth has been on Bones at this point.
Don't tell me that. That's my one claim to fame.
I know.
Stop it.
I now know three, maybe more people that have been on Bones. So you may be right.
Yeah, it's okay.
He graced us on the big screen with roles in the 2006 comedy Grandma's Boy and the 2008 Academy Award-winning drama Milk. Recently been seen on the hit series Master of None. In addition to acting, he's a writer and producer for the Fox hit animated series Bob's Burgers. While writing for Bob's Burgers, he's won an Annie Award in 2016 for outstanding writing in an animated TV
Outrageous writing.
Did I say outrageous?
No, but you wanted to.
I thought he was going to say it.
As well as a Primetime Emmy in 2017. Allow me to introduce the man who brought the brew back to Bruin without eliminating the ruin. I wrote that, Kelvin.
I don't know how you do it.
It's Kelvin Yu.
Woo!
Yeah.
Thank you for having me. I'm so honored to be a guest at Member Guest.
I feel like you should have done mine first because of all the personal connection, but here we go. My intro.
Mine's going to be way better.
Our next guest was born in the capital of Tennessee. He spent his childhood in Nashville playing soccer, rollerblading, and writing raps. Somehow he made his way west and is now a talented producer and writer for Bob's Burgers.
Not just somehow. I want to shout out Saturn SL2 1997. That was the car I drove. What's up, Saturn? It's made in Tennessee.
That's how you made it here.
Yeah, it's a fine car.
Also our sponsor.
He's won an Emmy for Outrageous Animated Series. He's won two Annie Awards. He received the Courage Award after a batting average of .000.
This is true.
In his final year of Little League.
It's called the Courage.
It's strong.
It was just for me.
You hit the ball in play zero times.
You were so brave and courageous to be Jewish and play baseball.
Oh, God. This guest is possibly the biggest rock star to ever join the Member Guest podcast. He released a rap album on vinyl during his college years at Indiana University under the name Deerflesh.
Fact.
He You may have seen him on HGTV when he starred as himself on House Hunters Renovations. He's an avid golfer and one of PGA Tour golfer Brendan Steele's biggest fans.
That's a fact.
Wow, he's amazing, isn't he?
You follow him every year at the Genesis Open.
I do. I've walked with you. I have questions about that. If you noticed me, when you noticed me.
If there ever was a guy who married up, it's this guy.
That is true.
Fact.
Samantha Shelton.
I can honestly say this is one of my favorite people in the world to be around. Our other guests might beg to differ. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Stephen Davis.
Wow. What an intro. Mark and I are now embracing our hands in the middle of the table for those who can't see. That's soft. A very nice intro.
Soft hands.
Really soft.
Firstly, tremendous introductions, Mark. Well done.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Thank you. I was waiting for that. One of the things, though, that we did that we both really failed to mention was the connection of what Stephen and Kelvin have together in common. And it's that you guys are a writing pair, a writing duo, a writing couple.
Is a there partnership, a what else can we call each
a
other?
Team?
A team. Writing, a team writing. Is it, yeah.
A writership.
Sort of like figure skating, like Olympic figure skating, but instead of...
Yeah,
that,
pairs.
Yeah.
I'm Oksana Bayul, you're Michelle Kwan.
Well, both females and from different countries. That's
exactly. Good. I'm trying to name male skaters, which I definitely can. What's the Scott guy that did a backflip? Oh, don't edit this out. Scott, if you're out there listening, you know who you are. You do a backflip.
Hamilton?
Scott Hamilton.
No, right? Scott backflip.
Scotty backflip.
Scotty backflips.
How does a partnership like your guys start?
We met actually through my wife. My wife invited us to a play. She really wanted us to be together.
Yes.
And it was a play called Anon at a 99-seat theater, and we were sitting in the front row.
Good play.
It was a good play. It was about addiction. It was written by a 6 feet under writer, and we were sitting in the front row, and then we go out in intermission, and we start talking about maybe writing something together, but we didn't really know. Second half of the play starts, and Kelvin, do you want to tell them how the second half of the play starts?
Well, this play was about sexual addiction.
Yes.
Heavy stuff. And so the second act of the play opens with, let's say, a 50-year-old man completely naked, with an erection, masturbating in a theater that's like maybe twice as big as the room we're in right now. It's not a lot
we're
of space.
We're as close
for this
to
guy.
The man as we are as close to you. And we start like church laughing.
So
like mature adults.
And the guy was a committed actor, let's just put it that way. Yeah. So he's doing what he needs to do to tell the story. But I think
which is masturbate,
which is, you know, I mean,
he's absolutely nailing it.
He was doing it. He looked like he was doing it. Committed.
Yeah.
And that was the moment. Kelvin,
he also made eye contact with Steven the entire time.
And Kelvin was like, you should get out of here. This guy is going to hurt you.
I'm going to call you an Uber.
Yeah. He's pointing at me. So this happened to me at the YMCA actually one time.
Oh God.
That's, same thing.
Same thing. I was at a, what are we doing? I was at a urinal and I looked over and there was just a dude in the shower just doing that stage performance and pointing at me. And I kept
pointing.
And I kept going back to the gym. It was really cheap.
Was it a point like get out of here point, or was it a point like after you hit a three and you point at like
yeah,
the guy
it was
who
like
you?
It was like Curry you walking backwards down the court, like you got nothing on me.
You can't guard me point.
Yeah. So anyway, two masturbation stories in 1 minute into the podcast.
What are we doing? Steven and I sort of knew at that moment that we wanted to write together.
That's true.
We ended up writing a series of sketches that were sort of ill-fated.
Yeah.
One of them was called Urinal Ninjas.
That probably would have been a good sketch.
I don't know what it was, but we still have the notepad, and at the top of it says Urinal Ninjas, and neither of us remembers what that idea was.
But we were just at Starbucks, though. It was just us two at Starbucks running ideas off of each other.
It was more than just a great title.
It literally might have just been like, those words go together.
Kelvin, you say one word, I'll say a word. Urinal.
Is that a movie?
I don't know.
So,
did we just nail it? Or not?
I think we did it.
Well, actually, we're skipping some stuff. I jumped up north to go shoot the movie Milk with Sean Penn and the like. And Steven went to Alabama and other states to shoot a movie called Bruno with Sacha Baron Cohen. So we were both stuck in hotel rooms. And we had already been writing, but that was when we sort of solidified this. And then that became a pilot that when we both got back to LA was circulated and we found ourselves eventually getting to Bob's Burgers. But it was a couple of years, maybe a year and a half.
You do your water bottle meetings and go to different studios and producers and other people, and eventually you end up.
I was actually living with Kelvin at the time. Kelvin and I were roommates. I'd be like, hey, Kelvin, you want to go to a bar or go out to dinner? And you'd be like, no, I got to work tonight. And then Stephen would come over and you guys would basically be doing this.
Yep. and that's what was great. It wasn't work then. It was honestly, it was just like, it was practice. Is that practice, I guess?
Don't say practice.
Practice?
practice? Not even a game.
We were like cutting our teeth, kind of. We call it Starbucks writing because when you go to Starbucks in LA, anywhere, every single laptop is a screenplay. And you are a Starbucks writer until you're not. I'm sure it's similar in some ways with like making the tour, becoming a musician. Like you're just a guy in the world doing your thing until somebody comes along and says, hey, I think you're good enough to do this professionally. So it's hard to like tell younger people, just keep doing it. Like it just happens eventually, you know, but that really is kind of the unglamorous truth of it. But the story that we enjoy about it is that I had sort of had it. I live on the west side and all the meetings were on the east side or in the valley. And I told Stephen, like, I'm really getting sick of these meetings. And we had a... Stephen just...
I dropped my headphones. They're more expensive than anything I've ever bought. Oh, God. I'm so sorry. I'm never getting money back.
This is just a little snapshot of what it's like to work with Stephen.
That's actually true. I broke a chair at Kelvin's house. What else have I broken? Our wall is at work is covered in golf ball holes.
You broke the table in the middle of the writer's
room. I broke a table at the writer's room.
Get him another beer.
Thank you.
Stephen takes full swings of a golf club regularly in an office that is half the size of this.
Four! There's a really nice carpet that just feels like turf, and you can just like hit down.
Should
on
not
it. It
don't.
It's got like the nice mat underneath that you pay more for. Yeah. You know where like when you're going to pick out carpet, and they're like, well, "It's not really the carpet; it's really the mat underneath that is how expensive it is." Yeah, you're paying for the padding.
I have so many videos of me taking slow motion swings in my office and then studying them.
Kelvin, what does this look like? Is that look better or worse than what I was doing yesterday?
Do you know him?
Do you know me? Yeah. That's me.
I know golfers.
So we went to this meeting, and I won't name the network. It's ABC. And we were seated across this guy. He had read our pilot, and he literally goes, just keep writing. You guys, just keep writing. And he was even like, why did I drive all the way out here?
What are you doing?
And he was like picking lint off his shirt while he was talking. He was just like, I'm going to send you to a website for young writers. Write this down. It's abc.com/youngwriters. And we were like, dude. he looked at us a total of 4 seconds throughout the entire thing.
It's a made-up website. I was like, it's not a real website.
It's like the reject line that the girls give out to guys when they don't want to dig them. No, it, yeah, like,
555.
Bob's Burgers. Hello.
Well, it was literally, we went home from that meeting, and that day we got a call to come meet with the showrunner of Bob's Burgers.
Yeah, it was a voicemail from our manager, and it was like, I got another meeting for you, and we were both like rolling our eyes, and he's like, it's a good one. It was sort of a little bit of a slow roll. We didn't know it was going to be Bob's Burgers. We just knew it was going to be a new show for Fox. And even then, it wasn't like, nothing's a done deal. You know, you keep like, I'm sure in your professions too, like, there's so many start and stops early on that you're like, okay, whatever. So then we go in to meet with the showrunner named Jim Dotrieve. And there was a moment that we kind of weren't sure if we got a job. Like,
oh, absolutely. We talked for like an hour. And then he's like, I have to go pick up my son. Will you watch the presentation for the show that we're meeting with you on? And we're like, yeah. And so we just left Kelvin and I alone
just left.
In a room.
It was like 7 p.m. at night. Everybody was gone in the building. And he just drove away.
but left his computer.
But left his
so computer. We knew he was coming back potentially.
And he also
at
says,
some point, maybe.
Yeah. We don't know. We were going to stay though.
You guys are looking at each other like, what in the hell is going on right now? Like,
totally. Stephen had just gotten married.
Yeah.
And so he was, I remember him saying to you, well, we're going to need all those stories. And we know each other well enough that we looked at each other and we're like, did we just get a job? Or like, what just happened exactly? But even then, we thought it might be 6 months.
No, TV shows don't last. I mean, we thought this was going to be a cool first gig, and then it turned into a really
9 years going on.
Yeah,
another, you know, who knows?
3 marriages later.
Yeah,
here we are. One marriage.
At that point, for you guys, how does it work as far as you guys being a team? And was that? Did we just get a crazy echo?
No, I think I just breathed.
I have a deviated septum.
Did we not tell you you actually can't breathe?
Don't breathe.
Don't be breathing.
No. Okay, nobody.
During the Member Guest podcast, no one's allowed to breathe.
Don't be breathing on my podcast.
I talk over here,
and then I breathe over here,
and then I talk back over here. Haven't you noticed
that?
You're doing some rookie shit on there.
No breaths.
I think I know what it is. I think you need to take your headphones and slam them on the ground real quick.
Oh no, I did that. I dropped them.
Oh okay, yeah. Then you're fine.
Dude, something's going
amateur
crazy.
Hour. It's me. I put my headphones.
Did they feedback?
Yeah.
Were you not hearing that, Mark? Mark's not hearing anything. Mark, are you alive?
Are you a member or a guest, bro?
You listen to a podcast?
You're listening to what are you listening to?
He's like, I'm the guy who has to do all the work on the show.
I have to edit out all the masturbation stories. That's my job.
Right now, that's about 60% of the podcast.
So your 12-minute podcast with Stephen and Kelvin.
Yeah. So at that point for you guys, you're doing these different, for lack of a better term, interviews or meetings. Yeah. Are you always going as a pair with that type of thing? And is the intention always, you know, we want to write together? Or is it like, we really like Kelvin's point of view, but...
That's fine. Well, at first it was interesting because Kelvin is an actor and had not been a professional writer yet, mm-hmm. and he was working on TV shows. Mm-hmm. And so I actually got representation I got a manager by myself at first. And it was on a script that we wrote together, and I just took your name off of it.
Well, I asked him to be totally right.
I asked you if it was okay.
Yeah, I told him to.
And that script got representation. And then about 6 months later, Kelvin was interested in staffing on a TV show, so I decided to tell my manager, I lied to you. I actually wrote this with Kelvin. Want to meet Kelvin? And he's like, yes. And so he met Kelvin, and then we both had representation from that moment on.
Having a writing partner early on pays way more dividends, even though you're splitting a paycheck, which hurts. But his relationships, just for instance, combined with my relationships, just is more than double. And then sitting in a meeting can be so awkward when you're alone, on a couch. There's just a lot of weird eye contact. And there's no dead spots when there's two people in a meeting. Like, as soon as you start to lose steam, like, he can jump in and then I can jump in. And we've also now experienced, I would say, about 50-50 where, like, they're talking about, like, Seder or, like, you know, Passover. It's and then true. Other times I'm talking about, you know, being a person of color or being Asian American or whatever. And, like,
it's a podcast, though, so they can't see color. So it's just so, right. It's so beautiful. comedy writing specifically, having instant feedback in the room is somebody laughing and being with a friend and, like, having a good time. Right. And so if you're alone writing comedy in a room, you don't know it's funny until somebody else reads it and then tells you, I liked that part.
I really believe, like, the funniest people in the world, their batting average alone is low. It's not that it's not funny. It's that the wrong part is funny sometimes. Like, the other person is just giggling at something that you thought was the setup, and they don't find the punchline funny. It's like the chemistry. Yeah.
A valuable question is, like, wait, what did you mean by that? Because there's times where he'll say something or I'll say something, and we don't know why the other person said it. And then you sometimes have to dig and extrapolate, and like, well, why did you... You have to figure out why the other person used those words, because you don't make sense a lot of the times.
And another thing that happens a lot is people say... They start sentences with, I thought you were going to say, and you're totally wrong, but you're on to something. Like, they set you off
different
on a
path.
Totally separate course. So, like, two people in a room is almost like five people in a room. One person in a room is like zero people in a room. It's just, you're just pitching into the void of nothingness. And especially, I imagine, like, you can write about your sort of, you know, your dead puppy or your how much you miss your grandmother or something if you're writing drama alone. And I don't mean that, like, in a deprecating way. I just think it's true to you. It's your
all of your
story.
Dead poetry, dead puppy poetry.
Yeah, and I'm trying to find a publisher if anybody out there wants to publish a book about dead puppies. But with comedy,
or even a co-writer,
or even somebody that wants to jump on board this thing.
Sit down, Ubu. Sit. Get you it. Already are because you're dead, lying there on the ground. See, that's your book.
The only trick you have is to lay down,
play dead, but you ain't playing.
Roll into the hole that I dug.
You dead dog.
Dead dog.
By Kelvin, you.
Yeah, so that's out there if anybody wants it.
Yeah, I feel like people are going to want it.
Yeah, I think so too.
And at this point on Bob's Burgers, we actually don't write together anymore. We've separated and we're now writing alone. So all the stuff we're saying about, like, we don't know if we're funny is based on just, like, our own pain as we now sit alone and try to write.
So right. We can now kind of understand what people go through alone at Starbucks when we had each other talking too loudly.
Now that you guys have been partners, even though you're on your own, do you guys help each other out more than you do some of the other writers?
What's funny is we actually have a very democratic system at Bob's Burgers. We take turns. It's an order. We write episodes in like a batting order. And so Kelvin and I goes me and then him. So we actually are always, I'm breaking a story while he's figuring out his story, and we don't actually get to help each other.
So in the last 5 episodes that we've written each, we haven't been able to access the other person's brain because I'm always going off. I see like 2 ships passing in the night, but we have support. When you write on a TV show and you cut your teeth that way, you sort of like grow up with a lot of smart people around you. In some ways, I think it's almost healthier. You learn how to throw away good ideas, which is really important.
Do you guys have a favorite character that you connect with that you enjoy writing jokes for more than the other?
Story love. I love writing Tina episodes. I don't know if there's been a character like that on television that is just so going through puberty so outwardly.
Like, forever.
No, we're stuck in a year of these characters' lives forever. And so she is stuck in a very hard part of her life. And I love kind of just digging into those moments.
It's also kind of the most honest view of puberty I've seen in a while, like on TV. It's like, it's not sexy. It's really kind of gross and like, you know, just sort of nothing's making sense and her body is doing things it shouldn't. And like, it should, but it just, she doesn't know what to do with it. Like she's into smells and butts and things like that.
That was like a very early season one thing. Like I remember Lauren being like, she's into smells. Like she likes when things smell. And like, and I remember the first moment where I came home from a dance party. I was in the 6th grade and I got my mom's car and I was feeling so good. Cause I just like danced to like Naughty by Nature. And I was like doing a Running Man. And I was like, this is so dope. Everybody loves me.
I remember that.
You weren't there. Yeah. This is in Tennessee. And I get back in the car feeling like, just sitting in the backseat of my minivan, like so far away from her. I'm just in the backseat, just like lounging. And mom goes, ooh, I think it might be time for you to get some deodorant, Steven. And I was just like, no. And that was like when my stink click did. And it was just like, and that's like what Tina is going through. Like she just like, there's new smells and new sensations going on. And it's an interesting thing to write to.
In that moment, I knew that my stink had arrived.
It had arrived. I had been dancing with Caitlin all night.
I've had the best night ever until my mom told me I needed deodorant.
Yes, it was a terrible moment, but a great moment upon reflection.
I think the funniest character in terms of jokes is Gene for me because he's pre-sexual, but he's sexual aware, but he doesn't know what it means. Like when he says something that his parents can't reprimand him for because they know that he doesn't know what it means, but it's so weird that they have to react and just sort of take it on the head. Is a really funny place for a character.
There's a lot of Bob just saying, Gene.
Just
stop. You know.
But to that point, my favorite character to write for is Bob. I think he's a good man. I think he like is a good dad and a good husband. And I think it's a little easier. I'm not trying to like poo-poo any other shows, but to write like the guy who's a jerk who just wants to be in the basement watching sports. And Bob isn't that guy. You know, like he's trying his best. He might also want to do those things, but he's not going to. And like, you know, I appreciate that.
But it's so true. I mean, look, I have a 1-year-old and I have a 4-year-old. And even just like, this isn't to make you guys feel bad, but coming here tonight, like my 4-year-old is like, is it going to be a late night? Like kids start to ask that kind of thing. And it's a crazy thing. I'm glad I'm here, listeners. But it's just like an interesting thing that you have to start to balance. Like your children start to understand when you're home and when you're not.
Like, is mommy going to have my other daddy come tonight?
That's Axel.
Oh, that's...
He's cool. Axel, he's strong.
Oh, he's the MMA guy that comes over sometimes.
I don't want to fight him.
You haven't met him yet.
I've seen him come over my nest. I watch.
Oh, you watch?
Yeah.
Yeah, the rear naked chokehold. He's just showing your wife some basic Brazilian jiu-jitsu moves.
His ears are terrible, though. I have one like curved. Oh, yeah. I have one curved ear. This is a podcast. I have one weird ear. People always ask if I do MMA because I'm one of curved ears. Do you know that?
Do you answer yes?
Not because of my physique. I answer yes every time.
Partial cauliflower ear, but no striking, no background.
Yes, my wife's fake lover, though, for this bit has 2 cauliflower ears, is what we're doing here.
Yeah. How about your son or your,
oh, my son who misses daddy? Yeah, no, but I do actually start to see Gene already, like through my child who was 4. We went to a Chinese restaurant and they had a big serving spoon and a thing of rice. And so the next day he holds a spoon up to where his penis is and goes, "Hey, Dad, look, I have a Chinese penis." And I was like, "What are you? Don't do that in public. Why would you say that?" And so, like, the thought process that the kids have, it's a really good joke. Yeah. It's really funny. But what does it mean?
It's really funny.
Yeah, and it's also, like, I like this playing against, like, the stereotype. Also, it's a big old spoon he's hanging down there.
I don't want to unpack it.
Kelvin's like, that's going to my next episode.
Yeah. Don't unpack it. Sure. Yeah, but no, but to writing for Gene, like, the pre-sexual nature of that, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. We were talking about, but I have a question for you guys because...
Yeah, please.
I mean, I just, like, you have jobs that people want, and particularly this guy wants your job, but, like, is your relationship to golf or your music still as fresh as it once was in a weird different way? Do you still love it, or do you have to keep negotiating that?
I have to keep negotiating it for sure, all the time.
Yeah.
No matter how much you guys like to play golf, imagine if your paycheck depended on you doing a certain thing with golf. You'd be like, wow, this really sucks.
Is it because you have 100% control of your own golf game? Whereas, like, other sports can blame it on the point guard or the whatever. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, is it because you feel like you are 100% responsible?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of plausible deniability, right? You can't just be like, well, course screwed me today. I mean, you say that as a player, like, I played good, got bad bounces, this happened, that happened, I'm okay.
Yeah.
But then there's other times like, I shot 67, but that wasn't great. Like, tomorrow could get a little sideways.
Interesting. You actually feel like you got good bounces when you shouldn't have got
interesting. Yeah, or I know, like, I normally hit three bad tee shots for the day, and I hit seven today, but it kind of all worked out, and that's not sustainable over 4 days kind of thing.
Wow, that's interesting.
You can feel the wheels starting to fall off the bus. Like, the bus still got into the port today. That's crossing a bus and a ship analogy.
Yeah.
The bus still sailed the sea.
The bus got in the port. It's on top of the water. As everyone knows.
But good news, guys. You got that bus in the port. I don't think that's as good news as you think it is. Yeah.
Why is the bus... Who put the bus in the port?
I was going to say the landing gear might not work on the on the bus.
Yeah.
I mean, we do this all the time. How often do you guys think, what the heck were we going to do if this didn't happen?
Kelvin, I went to UCLA pre-med and finished with a degree in philosophy with a minor in classical Greek. Everybody would assume when they meet me that I went to school, went to college for music.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
That was like, there was no plan. Like,
I remember Brad still applying to law schools, even as you guys got signed by Warner Brothers. Mm-hmm. He was still like, well, who knows? Like,
right.
I mean, yeah.
Right.
And I think feel that's like something we should dive back on a little bit, because one thing that's kind of brought us all together, I think, is the fact that you two went to UCLA together.
Yeah.
In circa 1997,
96 was the year I started. I think he's 95. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that was a crazy time for UCLA, because you guys came out of it. Maroon 5 came out of that, and Sarah Bareilles also came out of that. Mm-hmm. It was like this, if you just knew one of those acts, it would be kind of a wild story. And not only did all three go to UCLA, they were like contemporaries of each other. Like, and everybody is literally like record breaking. Like, it's really crazy. I don't know how that happened.
So a funny story on that, that ties in at least with Sarah. We recently were awarded with the Ira Gershwin UCLA Lifetime Achievement Award. We were all like super stoked, especially me and Brad, having gone to UCLA. We're really excited about that. It's so fun.
Yeah.
And Brad did his acceptance speech of the Gershwin Award. And it's so funny because they awarded it to us at Spring Sing.
Oh, God.
And his lead story, which me and him had like reminisced and loved, his lead story in accepting it was the fact that me and Brad tried out for Spring Sing and didn't make it. And so he was basically, I can't remember how he structured the joke. We had played some music with Ryan, the original drummer from
Ryan Dusick,
Cars Flowers, and then for Maroon 5. And me and the three of us were doing some different stuff together. Brad and I, though, were the only ones for whatever reason on that day could go to the tryout. We tried out. It was a song that we had written. I think I was singing, Brad was doing backups. Truth be told, that's why we didn't make it.
But his whole
was
structure...
Was it acoustic? It was acoustic.
Yeah, right? It had to be for that.
I still remember your Ovation guitar. I feel like I learned how to play guitar on that guitar.
On that Ovation?
Yeah.
His whole structure of the setup for was like step one, if you're at UCLA and you potentially want to win this award, would be to not be accepted into the thing that I'm accepting the award at right now. Like, you'd need to try out for Springsteen and have them tell you, sorry, you're not good enough. Yeah. And then P.S. also... At the time when our roommate Mike was like the president of the Alumni Association who puts it on. So not even with all that politics in our favor, we still couldn't like make the award show.
Make it.
And then and additionally, I think the year we tried out was the year that Sarah Bareilles won it.
She won it twice. Yeah.
So one of those.
She also did not make it though, the year before that.
Okay.
She did not make it and then she won it twice. So yeah, that's hilarious.
Good on Sarah.
Yeah.
Good on Sarah.
Good on Sarah. Maybe she didn't make it the same year we didn't make it. We should go back and talk to her and figure
she
that
won
out.
That year. That was the year. She
yeah,
won.
No, she won.
Yeah. Not only did she make it, but...
Did you go to college by any chance, Brandon?
I did. I went to UC Riverside.
You did? And
yeah,
did,
big has, golf college.
Is it?
Everybody
are you kidding?
Knows that. No, are, I'm kidding.
Okay, I don't know. Has your college degrees, have they come into play at all in terms of what you guys do?
No. My golf education came into play as far as like I played 50-something... college tournaments where I had to go play against good competition and figure it out. And the more tournaments you play, the better you get. And like, you just learn how to do things. But my wife does everything as far as like the business side of it goes. I was a business major.
Oh, so she's got that covered.
And she was a psychology major and she does everything that has to do with the business. Yeah, right. Cool. So she runs everything for
good
me.
Good for you guys. So, that's a great situation. You guys to, I mean, I think, I don't know, maybe it's not, but it seems like it's great to be able to like partner with your wife.
No, it is.
I mean,
no, it's good. And the funny thing about Anastasia too, is like, we kind of like wound up in this life together. She knew I was a golfer, but she never thought I was actually going to like play professional golf. She was like, yeah,
did
yeah.
She tell you that?
Well, yeah. She's like, yeah, yeah. You play golf. Like, I don't care. Like, you're kind of cute. You think you're funny, but you're not. So we'll just like, we'll hang out a little bit. And then
weird
like,
vows. Yeah.
Yeah. Then we got married and she's like, okay, I guess this golf thing's a thing. I don't really care, but whatever. And then next thing you know, she's like, I got to travel to all these golf tournaments.
You got married before you sort of made the tour and all that.
Yeah, way before.
So she married just like a dude.
Just a guy.
She married a dude. And not only a dude, like a dude with a small head and big ears and like super dorky and not funny. Like what happened there?
I have a smaller head though. So people with small heads.
You beat me in a small head competition. I'm really embarrassed. It's never happened before.
Yeah.
The last person to do that is like 18 months old right
now. That was a year ago.
Yeah, and then their head just got bigger than mine right now.
Those are the hats that Brendan usually ends up getting. He steals them from, you know, 18 to 24 month old.
He goes up to people that are eating ice cream out of a helmet, and he's like, when you're done with that, I'd like
that.
Can
I have
that?
Hey, bro, can I have your Paw Patrol hat? Thanks.
When Mark made the member guest hats, he's like, don't worry, I'm making some hats in child small, so you like you'll be fine. Like it's no big deal.
When I was in Little League, I had to have a safety pin to get my hat to fit.
Me too.
What?
So, yeah.
Oh my god.
I gave Mark a couple hats too. I have like Wilson is my sponsor, and I have these Wilson hats that say Steely on the back and whatever. So I give them to my buddies, and my dad can.
I
wear
can
one.
Give one to Steven.
Yes, you can give one to Steven.
I would love your hat. Yeah,
I'll give one to you.
But I gave him to Mark, and he's like, you got anything that's bigger? And I'm like, no, these are like custom made to my head. Like they had to, Wilson actually had to go and make hats that will fit my head because
really?
The small was
dude,
too big.
I tried to wear one of these hats golfing. I couldn't wear it.
No,
you took 2 years off your life that day.
You did. Sorry.
So, hey, I want to circle back to something that was talked about. We have jobs where we get paid episodically. You get paid for your show.
I don't know how your
paycheck is structured.
I don't
but,
get paid.
But it's with golf, the fact that you said that you have to play well to get paid is like so it stresses me out. And I made a stupid joke earlier about wondering if like you noticed me on the sideline. I actually wasn't talking about me specifically. When you golf though, it feels like everything can affect your ever like I feel like I could say something now to you that could fuck you up in a tournament.
Yeah.
Nobody could do that to me with writing, nobody could do it with music, nobody could do it to you with filmmaking.
Right.
With golf, I feel like I can mess with your head right now.
Be like, fucking Steven.
I don't want to.
I can't get it out of my head. 3 months ago and it's got me screwed up.
Or
yes.
Steven.
And so I feel like obviously
that's because you're that kind of golfer. To be honest. And I'm not making a
joke.
No,
I like
this.
Right, I like this.
Like because I can say something to Steven. Somebody said something to Steven once about your swing not being very athletic.
Yep.
And I think
I had just started playing.
He had simultaneously like I don't know what it meant to you, but it like affected the way you thought about golf yep. for like 6 months.
Yeah. About life.
Honestly.
And that's the other thing. It's kind of what Brendan
you
was
felt
saying.
Like a loser.
I can tie this back into music. I can tie this back into music for my thought process. So every time I pick up a guitar, I play Free Fallin', and that's it. But my fear in life is that everything I pick up, I will only learn as much as I've learned on guitar, even though I've been doing that since like I was 12. So with golf, I picked the golf up in my 30s. And everything else that I do in life, I do very freely, and I like to. I'm a good student.
Just for enjoyment.
For enjoyment. Right. But for golf, for some reason, I feel like I have to catch up and learn everything. I have to get my fundamentals down like perfectly before I then get better. So what am
I? So funny how different people approach golf so differently.
Yeah.
You know,
so, golf is so mental, though. You think yes. you have to do all these things in order to progress, and you don't. Like, you can just do your thing when you're like, well, when I hit a good shot, it feels like this. So I just do that every time.
That's what that's like, me. That's how I don't think too much.
And that's the best way to do it. Like the.
Yeah. Thank you, Brendan. Thank you, Brendan Steele, professional golfer.
We talk about the way I do it is best. I go to Golf Tech and I watch the slow motion.
Yeah. And then I try to learn everything that needs to be perfect.
He shows 12 people who don't care his video in slow motion.
We talk about this. We've talked about this on the podcast a bunch, actually. But like, you either have to be really dumb or really smart in order to play good golf.
So many sports are like that. And I'm going to name 4 golfers who are really dumb. Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
But there are golfers who do that, who mean mug. You don't have to name names.
You mean like talking crap? And
there's a lot of golfers. Yeah.
There are guys who think that the Tiger intimidation will work if they do it.
Right.
Meanwhile, they don't have 14 majors. And
right. That's a different story.
84,000 wins and haven't and done
$80
all
million
the things.
Dollars in
yeah, right. Haven't done all the things that Tiger's done, but they're like, I'm going to do what Tiger does. I've actually learned from that to do the opposite because it's not in my personality to be like, I'm going to be like super focused and not pay attention to anything that's going on. And for 5 hours that you can't get me out of the zone. It's like, I'm worn out by the 12th hole and I'm going to be terrible at the end. I have to be like a little bit more free, be like, what's up, Dave? What are you doing? We hanging out? Yeah.
Right.
After this, we getting a beer? Yeah, we'll get a beer after. Okay, yeah, all right. Now let me go ahead and
But isn't this good it case shot. By case? As an actor, I had to kill my wife a bunch of times in the early 2000s. Because like nobody knew how to write Asian people on CSI or like Law & Order. So like once a season, they would just be like, what if this guy named Ching Hong just like kills his wife because he's so sexually repressed? And then like, and so
that was always your role?
Yeah, that was always my role. I was a theater major. So like I can sort of, if you need me to, I can get to that emotional place. And so that's all they want. They want you to cry on page 51 or whatever of 60. And so I got like 4 or 5 roles in the course of a couple of years where I like killed my wife because she was like emailing too much or something. And like she had her own AOL account. Yeah, she was Asian. Speaking Asian. But from set to set, like for instance, you might start shooting at 3. You get call times at 3. It's going to be a late night. You get on set at 5. And then they're like, you shoot the wide, and then they're like, we're going to lunch. And you already cried once in the wide, but it wasn't a real cry because they're not on the close-up yet. And then, and you know this from like video shoots, like there's all kinds of different changing, to-do lists in terms of what they're about to shoot. If you're in the background while Mike's rapping, you can kind of phone it in a little bit, you know? And right. so, and then, and
not,
then,
not that I would,
not that you would. Never,
right, Dave's right. the
you,
ultimate professional.
You give 100%. And I just think like on any given day, you got to check in like where you're at, like how you're feeling. Sometimes it's, you got to avoid everybody and go be alone. Other times it's all about being in the room. What's up? How you been? How's the wife? How you, man? How you doing, man? Like, I don't you think it's like, I imagine that golf is a little bit like that. Like
it is like that.
Yourself.
And I don't really know how to find the balance. I do know that like I won a tournament last October. My trainer was up there and he was walking around with me.
Safeway Open, y'all.
Safeway Open. Big That's fan. What's up. There you go.
And check it on YouTube. Yeah, Napa.
YouTube.com. Check it out, guys.
My trainer told me later, he's like, I text my dad after like 5 holes and I was like, he's going to win today because he came over and he was like chatting with me and it was like totally different than I've ever seen him before and he seemed so much more comfortable in the situation. I know he's going to win today. Mm. And I did.
Nah.
But like that's more in my personality than cool. to be like, oh, I see Brad over there, but I'm not going to say hello because I'm so focused. You better look out. I'm going to shoot lasers through anybody that gets in my way. Right. Like that's not really my personality.
Right. Yeah, it's funny. And as you get older, I'm sure it changes too. Settle in.
Yeah, it does. And like Dave's been there for a few disappointments where like I've played really bad. After Safeway a couple of years ago, we went and had breakfast and he was like, who cares? Like, you know what this looks like? It's not a big deal. Mm. Like, yeah, okay, you're going to be bummed out because you want to play better. I had the lead after like 66 holes of 72 and then I just like totally imploded. It's like, but you're going to go and you're going to have this opportunity again and you're going to be okay. So many holes like, it's golf, totally fine.
Yeah, there's right? so many goals. There's so 60 many, something.
So many holes. Yeah.
That's such and a then weird you go job. On to win it the next 2 years in a row.
Right.
That's true, too.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah. Eat that.
Eat that, Safeway. It's
actually, we like Safeway. So
yeah, we love
eat
Safeway.
Eat that with us in the meal.
in a meal plan.
Thank you so much, Safeway.
Safeway's the best. Safeway open. Napa, great food up there. We're going to eat it together. Yeah. I don't know.
Can I ask music questions?
I have questions too.
Okay. So the other day I happened to just, I was on.
Only if after this, then I have like a comedy question to ask.
Yeah.
Okay, you get one.
You get one. I get one.
Only one.
I was listening to the Judgment Night soundtrack recently. And I was wondering, as a person who is in the band Linkin Park, if that meant as much to you as it did to me in 1993. As far as, no, like, it was like, yeah, so Judgment Night was, I actually have never seen the movie, but the soundtrack was on repeat in my car.
And I could even probably talk to why you asked it, just because maybe you guys have no clue why Steve would ask that. It's one of the first moments, aside from, like, Walk This Way, Run DMC, I was going to say Run DMC, AC/DC, Run DMC, Aerosmith.
That'd be kinda cool.
But it was like the beginning of, and granted, it was super rudimentary, but it was the first thing that was that big and that commercial that was mixing elements of hip hop and like hard rock, even rap.
Or, yeah, it was like De La Soul and Teenage Fan Club. Who else? Cypress Hill. I love that soundtrack. And then I happened to click on like you guys and Jay-Z, and it was obviously like, right. This wonderful fusion of things that work so well together.
Yeah. My background in music first was classical. Coming from like classically training and doing that first, one of the things for me that I
violin.
Felt like, yeah, it's violin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would have been cello, but it was too big for me. My brother started playing cello and I was like 5 at the time. He was, you know, 8 and a half and playing in the elementary orchestra. And my mom decided.
You were 5 though when you started playing?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
The thing about classical music that I didn't even realize at the time was that there isn't really genre. Like classical music in and of itself is a genre, but you can move through all different types of periods and all different types of feels that exist inside classical music. If you go from Mozart to Brahms to Beethoven to Bach, you're going to go through this whole different feel of how those guys each individually composed.
Fuck Brahms.
Say it. Just say it. Yeah. Yeah. You know?
I'm not scared.
Yeah.
You know what? Fuck that guy.
Just, yeah. Come at us.
Go on.
Oh, I need
to
write everything in a minor key.
Yeah. So sad. Ooh.
Boo. Oh.
Team Beethoven. Bach, anyway, go ahead.
I love math so much.
Right.
Beethoven.
The devil's core.
I'm a handle boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Handle's Messiah. That's my jam.
I'd put you more of like a Paco Bell.
Taco Bell for sure. All day.
Just because of
chalupas, double deckers.
He's a fourth meal kind of dude.
Is it the homonym?
Fourth meal. Hashtag fourth meal.
Taco Bell. How does Taco Bell not have a Taco Bell's canon?
Ridiculous. How?
Taco Bell's canon.
Hold on. Stop interrupting him. I
Taco Bell's canon indeed.
Finish your.
Stop done. Interrupting him.
So that was your.
This segment's
entree.
Brought to us by Taco Bell.
Thank you, Safeway. Thank you, Taco Bell. No. So your entree is through classical.
Yeah, and so I think like growing up. With that as somewhat as a foundation, I obviously loved a lot of other stuff that was going on in music, but I never had this idea until way late in the game that I needed to like exist or live or gravitate towards one genre. I always I had broad interests, you know, and where we were growing up in Southern California, I loved, you know, when we get to high school, I love East Coast rap. I love West Coast rap, gangster rap. I love Rage Against the Machine. I loved Weezer. These different things.
You guys are huge Weezer fans in that apartment.
Me and Brad.
You and Brad and Mike.
Yeah.
Or I guess you and Brad mostly. But
only the Blue Album, though, because after that, they sold out.
Yeah.
But.
Except for that Island in the Sun song. That's just fun.
Let's be honest.
Who could hate that song? It's a great time. Yeah. Like, everybody likes that.
Exactly.
Put a smile on your face.
If you go to that, though, that's like the Green Album. You're missing Pinkerton, which was their in-between album where their fan base just went bonkers, which I respect now, but they really left turned off of the Blue Album. It's just like that perspective, too, for me, always comes back to like you really like for us. We release an album like One More Light, which is the last one we did, most recent one we did.
And obviously we knew that that's a big change for us and, you know, a left turn from what we'd done in the past. But at the same time, we knew we'd done a lot of left turns, and you'll always hear like, they lost it after Meteora, or that blah, blah, blah. They did this, that, and the other thing. Like, there's this album sucks. Like, that, there's that whole sentiment. But from my seat, I'm like, I can appreciate that you have your own opinions. That's great. But you have to also know that for me hearing it, I was hearing that same thing with Hybrid Theory and Meteora. Hmm. Like, it always, and when we released, maybe some people's favorite album is Minutes to Midnight, but when we released that, there's a lot of people just being like, what the fuck, like, you're not doing nu metal anymore, or whatever that means, you know, like, we never were wanting to do nu metal, whatever that means, like, that wasn't our goal, like, let's do nu metal, right? Hey man, you want to do a nu metal band? Hell yeah, I love it.
There's a little bit of an analog, because most bands don't go that long, and so that's right. A different like skill set. And we're now entering our ninth season, and we've just been picked up for two more. And most shows don't
Congratulations.
Go. Thank you very
much. Are you announcing that live on here?
I'm announcing that. You just heard it. Premiere. Just heard it.
Like, breaking.
Most shows don't go 11 seasons. It's a different challenge. How do you address season 11?
Well, and think about the way, the place that you are in your life 11 seasons
right,
later.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. And that's what Dave always talks
And the
talks
world
about too.
Around you.
Yeah, and that's what he and I always talk about is like, I can't do Hybrid Theory at 40 the same way I did it at 23.
Nor should you.
Like it would feel like it's just like some sort of a strange like reboot of it. And it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like, it's not where I am in my life. It's not what I like musically as far as like 100%. What I'm influenced by and where I want to go with it.
Yeah, I live in Venice, or near Venice, and there's... So every once in a while, you'll see like a 45-year-old guy on a skateboard just roll down the
that
street.
That sounds cool.
And you're like, or not even 45, like a 55-year-old guy. And you're like, buddy, somebody needs to pull you aside and be like...
You're going to get seriously hurt. Yeah.
The cost-benefit of this is not on your, in your side.
I think it's as simple as showing him a picture of himself. This is, sir, you need to sit down. This is what you look like.
This is what's happening right now.
This is what I'm seeing.
Think about, though, like if fans were like on social media and going, I loved Bob's Burgers season 1 through 3. But after that, it's been ridiculous.
We get it.
Shouldn't have gone that direction.
We get that.
You guys get that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. People, fans have their opinions.
Like, I'm like, of course you do. Like, yeah. You get that if you're a grocery store.
Like, how can you have that better apples in 2005?
How can you have that passionate apples.
Ralph's fell off after the jalapeno chicken poppers went off the shelves.
Dude, Ralph's 2007.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Amazing. That low
man. They'll never get back to that level.
Steven, we have to talk about our fun little adventure that we had a couple weeks ago.
Well, there I was, 2018.
Far, far away.
This is the story of my first LAFC soccer game.
I send you a text. Hey, bro, you want to go? You're like, yeah.
No doisky. That was a pretty cool text. I said, no doisky. And you're like, what's no doisky mean? And
I've
I was
never
like,
said no doisky. I've never said that.
Have you ever texted it?
No.
Have I ever texted it? Probably not. Am I making it up for the story? Yeah. But there I was. No doisky, bro. I'll see you there. What? No doisky?
That's the worst. The guy who says no doisky is the worst guy.
What? I'm a 55-year-old man on a skateboard texting no doisky to my son I haven't talked to in 20 years.
Worst guy.
But he sent you a text, are you skateboarding right now?
Yeah. Skateboarding, hashtag no doisky. Are we still father and son? He wrote back, nope.
Can we write a character named Norman Doisky?
By the way, just a quick aside, who does the introduction for you guys on this podcast?
Some voiceover guy that I found on some voiceover guy website.
You hired a guy on the internet. I love that voice a lot.
Listened through like 100 different samples to find it. I knew what I wanted to do with it. I had written out the whole intro already. And then I was like on a mission to find this. I think
it's actually George Clooney.
Oh my God.
He has a site.
Keep talking. I'm going to find the name. I would love
just
to
before
this
I get back
props.
To the triumphant time we had the LAFC game. The transition from that to just like us talking about being writers is just the funniest thing ever. The most epic podcast. Okay, so That section, we went to the fan section of the game, and it absolutely, it was mayhem. I mean, it felt like, so I've only been to soccer games. I went to see a Boca Junior game in Argentina. That was amazing. Nice. And then I've been to Galaxy games and now the LAFC game. And it is, LAFC is like a true soccer stadium with like actual fans. I don't know when they wrote the songs and all the chants because the season just started and the team was just invented, but it feels like there's like this rich culture behind it. But I know there's not, and I'm a part of it.
I have a question. If you could go to any sporting event ever, but it has to be sort of current, like, or ish. Like, I'll just say, if I could see a Wimbledon final, Federer and Nadal, I would take that over Super Bowl, Game 7, NBA. I would take that over, you know, Masters playoff. Like, I between Tiger and Brendan, I would maybe that would be my number one. But like Federer Nadal Wimbledon final, like what would that be?
I would probably be right there with you with Wimbledon. I have a few things that are like on my bucket list, and yeah. Wimbledon's right there.
That's interesting.
And I'm not like a huge tennis fan, but for just some like the reason, pageantry of it. Yeah. It's kind of like, to me, it feels like the Masters feels to people who kind of like golf. It's like kind of like golf. But the Masters is real deal.
Masters,
I have friends that go like, I don't watch golf all year. Masters comes around, I watch 10 hours a day. It's like, what?
That's interesting.
Like, important it is. Yeah. I have a couple things that are on that bucket list. One of them is the Monaco Grand Prix too, which is such a random thing because I'm not even into like car racing.
You were talking
like,
about the sound really of F1 cool. or somebody was talking about the sound. F1 is so insane.
It used to be crazier. But really? Since a lot of those cars now have gone hybrid model, like it's still really, really loud, but it used to be like,
it's so
it
loud.
Used to be shit your pants loud.
Have you seen F1 already? Or, yeah.
We saw F1 in Singapore, in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah. Whoa, what? That's crazy.
That's what we do. We go to Abu Dhabi to go to
Abu Dhabi, F1. It's not a big deal.
Mine would be USA World Cup.
That was mine.
Group stage.
No.
Group stage.
Get out of here.
Group stage.
No.
You're
Fiori.
That's so funny.
I love this.
Fiori is group stage.
That's a great answer.
First game.
This group is stage. So true. This is like peak Fiori.
You know why too though? It's because group stage, first game, Fiori still has hope for the team.
Yeah. That's why. Yeah.
Dude. No, you can choose anything, bro. You can put them in the final versus Argentina.
Dream big, man. Mine is like the US. Mine is
the
US
first before Dave's dream is achieved, right? So
no, that's like
peak Fiori.
His dream, my dream is not to go to the moon. My dream is to get the engine to work at all.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's what? What?
I love it.
No, the dream is the U.S. playing in the World Cup final, and it's
against.
In the U.S.
Against
would make it also more like that.
Give us
is
the
another,
against.
Brazil?
My first thought,
Argentina?
Nah.
Nah?
My Germany. First thought was actually Mexico, if it was in the U.S., because that would be an intense,
be
fun.
Gnarly.
Yeah, that would be a nice fight.
That would be really good. That would be a great answer.
Yeah, U.S. soccer is developing.
It's
This is a big setback.
It's what people have been saying, though.
It's
what people have been saying since like 1996 that people are going to like finally find soccer in America. I think it's happening right now.
The U.S. is building a new car, so to speak. But in order for that to really happen, the old one needed to completely like have all the wheels fall off, and that's what happened.
Yeah. My sports X Games '94 rollerblading. Like I feel like they just like didn't have like it was like you could do like a soul grind and win.
This is a solid answer.
Yeah, you could do. Like,
are you competing in this?
Oh my god, I am all of a sudden.
Yeah,
I feel like this is incredible.
Thank you went from watching to competing.
Yeah,
that changes everything.
This is that is like the fantasy though. You're at the X Games '94. Arlo Eisenberg. That's an actual rollerblade 94 name drop.
Yeah, it is.
He hurts,
I know that.
He breaks his ankle, and it's
Randoisky.
Like... Are there any... No. Well, yeah, there you go.
He's pulled waiting.
There you go. Are there
He pulled a 720 Nodoisky. I remember that.
We could go back and listen to your voice saying Nodoisky, and just it all over it was like, I have been waiting to have like to drop this.
Just give me...
Yes, I'm so excited. Nodoisky.
Just get me open. Just pass me the ball when I'm open.
Yeah, yeah.
So... Maybe lastly, this is purely self-serving. Firstly, have you guys ever written or done anything that leans more towards stand-up?
No, neither of us.
No,
ever any interest in that? Or
definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've never done it.
I have a recurring dream about doing stand-up badly.
Yeah.
I think it means something to me. It's like the ultimate, you know, sort of like putting yourself on the line where you're like either, because it's immediate. You know if it's working or it's not. And it's not even intellectual. It's are they laughing? Is their body laughing or is their body not laughing?
Yeah.
You know, it's probably like music, right? It's, you know when they're feedback. In. You know
when they're also in. Like the, it's a fear of maybe instant square oneness too. We go back to nothing. You and I have never done it.
Right.
I go back to just, this is something I've never done. And right. It's terrifying. Steven,
you can Nodoisky.
Just as long as I'm bringing my Nodoisky material, yeah, strong.
But even if the jokes are good, yeah, the delivery could be off too, right? You could be like, oh, I've just written the perfect set and everybody's going to love it. And I didn't quite nail it and nobody
That's
thought
right.
it was funny.
That's yeah. right. Like, exactly.
And so you just be like, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not a safe place. It's not like giving a wedding speech like your brother's wedding.
No, it's actually a really aggressively not safe place.
Yeah.
It's
like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like playing the Phoenix Open.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, aggressively not safe.
Aggressively not safe.
Lindsay, for years and years, she's known that me and Brad had this ongoing thing. The initial setup was like, we're going to figure out a way to do like a stand-up set as a challenge to each other. Then as it like went through the years and never happened, then it was like a challenge of the band. Everybody's going to write 5 minutes of material or something like that. And we're going to do it and then have it be almost like judged and do it for like charity or something like that. And the question was always who would win
hardcore.
Or who would be the best.
Yeah.
Then it got this more recently. Lindsay has now set a date for a comedy party at our house with a very small invitation list. But in which
you guys aren't invited.
That's
too small.
Well, if you're interested, you could be invited.
This is a setup. Invited. This is like the best setup
the
ever,
worst
by
setup.
The way.
Selfishly, though.
Have you ever been interested? Yes.
Selfishly, though, either way, I'm going to use you because I'm going to have to deliver 5 minutes myself, and I will use you to write.
We could actually try some of the jokes or writing that I have.
Oh, my God.
This could be great.
This has made me think of you guys' writing. Because as this idea came up for a little bit, I was like writing down anything I thought was funny. The leadoff was almond milk. Almonds don't have breasts.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. That's your joke. I love it.
That's the setup.
I thought that was a joke.
That's setup and joke.
No, that is the joke.
I'm good.
Okay.
But we can riff off of that. But the joke really being that the notion that we've named it milk is really ridiculous. And then you can expound upon that. Like, we don't call water like cloud milk. We don't call urine penis milk.
Like, well, just the fact. Now, I have a statement for that, though. We were in Austin, Texas this year, Keegan, Bradley, and I. And we walked into this place for breakfast, and there's a thing that said cloud juice. And he goes, "What's cloud juice?" And he's like, "Filtered rainwater, bro." Just like you should totally know what it is.
Nodoisky. That was a Nodoisky.
That was a Nodoisky. You could have easily called it cloud milk.
Admittedly, it's not the best material. I have some other stuff. The closing
I think it's a good setup. I think it's a good setup. Like, careful driving today. There's cloud juice all over the highway.
Right.
Yeah.
Milk.
Just be careful.
Cloud milk?
There's cloud milk. You could toggle between juice and milk.
Juice and milk. It's not the closer, but it's the end of a list of equally potentially bad jokes. Is it just my kids, or do all children struggle to remember to flush the toilet?
It's good. It's good.
It's factual. I like. I'm more of that kind of comedy. I like.
You
I
got,
like.
You
going
guys all have younger kids.
Yeah, it brings it back to home.
Right.
Yeah.
We have a system called turd money in our house where every time we find an unflushed turd, all kids have to pay money back to me.
All kids, not the offending kids,
because they're all at fault. And they're never going to fess up to whose it actually is.
Oh, I like that.
And they all should be
turd money.
They all should be encouraged. It's like if you see something, say something.
Yeah.
TSA. You're going TSA on these kids.
If you see the turd, flush it. Like, don't just leave it in the toilet.
I have like a free-falling fear about stand-up also. I've told the same stand-up joke in my head for years, which is that before I go on any flight, I say my flight number in the voice of a newscaster to see if it sounds like it's going to crash.
Flight. That's so.
I killed in this room.
And then you got to do it. Then you got to say it.
So I'm looking at my ticket. American Airlines flight 225 went down over Orlando this afternoon.
You're like, nope, doesn't sound real.
Sounds good. It sounds like it's going to make it.
Yeah,
we're safe.
Yeah. If it was 334, it sounds like, that's definitely going down.
Flight 334 crashed flying from Cincinnati to...
Everybody sitting around you doesn't appreciate it. That you're trying it over and over
in
again.
The room. In the plane.
In the plane. Yeah.
You've already boarded at this point.
Yeah. I got in a fight with an airport security guy yesterday. This is a
recent fight.
Yesterday. This is a last night. I'm holding my 1-year-old daughter. My son had just been by my side. My wife is in the bathroom. Sorry, Sam. Everybody pees. I'm telling everybody. So I look up. My son has run off. And I see him hiding behind a post. And he's like playing hide and seek with me. I turn around because I just wanted to like check on the luggage. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go find him. And I go to where he's hiding and he's gone. So now I'm holding my son in the middle of the airport. My daughter. My son is missing. I look back and there's a security guard suddenly, like really quickly at my luggage, trying to like take it away because I left it unattended. And I say, sir, that's my luggage. That's my luggage. And he goes, you have to get back here. I go, my son is missing. And he didn't give a shit. He said, you need to get back to your luggage. And I was like,
sounds like a scam.
My son is missing. And he was like, come back to your luggage. And I was like, you could step up your role. Like, you don't just have to be bad guy. You can be hero find my son guy.
not my bags guy.
So I leave and I go into like the men's bathroom with my daughter. I can't find him. He'd run into the bathroom and found my wife. I had no clue like how he did it. And the guy is like scooping up my luggage and is like starting to take it away. And we got in a whole thing. But he didn't care that my son was missing.
I thought you were going to say, so this I went back to my bags and now my son's gone because I couldn't lose my stuff that I had. I'm just going to carry on.
Good thing I got that bag.
See, done. Stand up routine at your house. We're doing tag team comedy, Brenton and I.
I thought you were going to say that was going back to our earlier.
I thought you were going to say.
Writing clinic.
Thought you were going to say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say, I've made sons before. I can do that again. This bag.
That's a good bag.
It's one of a kind.
That's a nice bag. What are you kidding me? This is my best bag I could possibly have.
This might be irreplaceable.
I have one more comment before we wrap up.
Let's do it.
It's a Kelvin comment.
Yes.
We have two things in common. Yeah. I know we touched on this earlier. Two things in common are Bones episode.
Episode.
Which we share I'm now with... deflated about because apparently everybody's been on Bones.
Six out of 10 people in America have been on Bones. Yes.
Or three out of five.
Ask your doctor if Bones is right for you.
Fractions. 12 out of 20.
I spent an entire day there doing an episode.
Yeah.
Did a line with Hunter Mahan.
Yeah.
He was there with me.
Yeah.
Because it was a miniature golf murder, but it was so serious that they needed PGA Tour players there.
It was a miniature.
Which is crazy awesome. Laugh out of me. That's a miniature golf murder.
And then we watched it and then cut both of our lines out.
No.
So we obviously nailed them, but still get residual checks for it.
There you go.
Which I am super jacked for, and they're always more than I think they're going to
be. Yeah, there's not a bad gig. Not a bad gig.
So now we always say, like, whenever there's an actual star on TV, we're like, how much in residuals are they getting?
People in Russia are watching Bones.
Yeah,
people
totally,
in Brazil are watching Bones.
What was your line? Do you remember?
Sure, because he's your golden boy.
Whoa! That got cut?
Nailed it.
That got cut?
Must have been Hunter's fault.
Wow. Not going to find any bones on
if
this
putt
putt
like
course.
That, you're, I'm not going to find any bones on
this. And then number two, I also have an Emmy.
You also have an Emmy?
Wait, what program?
Emmys. 1989 Best Actor Daytime Emmy.
You have Wait, a what are 1989 you? Best Actor Daytime Emmy? Sorry. That I'm so confused.
My uncle gave it to me. He won six of them, and then he handed them out to the family. So
he won six of them?
Yeah, six of them.
Who is this uncle that's just like giving out Emmys?
Smashing Emmys.
Yeah.
Soap operas.
Yeah.
Luke Spencer, General Hospital.
Oh, shit. My mom probably.
Your mom would know. You guys don't know, but your mom would probably know.
My mom right now.
Yeah.
He's probably the biggest soap opera actor of all time. So he has six Best Actor Emmys.
Wow.
I was there for one of them. I went to the Emmys with him, but he gave us one as well.
That's so nice.
Yeah. So I have an Emmy.
Yeah.
And your own Bones.
So we are fully connected now.
Brothers.
Two for two. Yeah.
We've come to that point where from here, surely it would only go downhill.
Facts.
I think we're members.
Which might be good.
So you're not allowed to say that. I think they have to say that.
We haven't passed judgment yet. You guys are still guests.
Yes, guys. You came as guests. You leave as members.
Yes.
Congratulations.
You made it.
Huge honor.
Well, thank you very much. It is
awesome
an honor
for you guys to be here.
Thank you for having us.
Great to have you back. Before you leave, though, for anyone listening, still listening at this stage, for any of our parents or best friends who are still listening.
This was a four-hour conversation with a lot of masturbation talk, and that Mark ended
Honestly, not enough. Started like a lot of masturbation, and then it was all downhill.
We cut it down to an hour and a half, but it was mostly masturbation. Yeah.
What time is it? Oh, my God. It's tomorrow.
Where can people find you guys or what you're doing online?
Twitter at Deerflesh. That's not confusing. It's my rap name from college.
Can you give us a quick freestyle rap?
I did a freestyle poem about his dead dog. Poem.
I think you should do a freestyle rap incorporating where people can find you online.
Member guest?
Can Kelvin beatbox?
No.
I can't.
Dave?
You can probably beatbox.
What kind of beat
do
you want?
4, 6, 8, go. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I started too fast. But that's okay.
I took your beat.
I know. You're like a real musician. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
I wasn't ready for a real musician.
I was like, all right, he's conducting me in.
I was doing a stupid bit, and you like you're an actual musician. Oh, yeah, that's a proper beat. All right, member guest, gotta get it off my chest. When I flex my biceps, I come correct. It's if I ain't got none. Come on and give me some. Everybody listening to the podcast, nope, none. People are out there, I swear. Come on and stare at me, but it's an audio format. Get the doormat, wipe your feet, or I'll kick you with my dirty feet. Now, the clean, that's it, rhyme, and I'm off be going fast. Peace.
Yes.
Sounds nice.
That's amazing. That's Deerflesh. I'm at Internet Kelvin.
I'm not at Deerflesh.
I'm not at Deerflesh. Internet Kelvin. Twitter.com on the interwebs. Find me. Thank you guys for having us.
Very much. Thank you.
For sure. For us, always the same. We are at Member Guest Official on Instagram or just at Member Guest on Twitter.
Different on every platform.
Yeah, that's how we like to do it. Keep it really confusing. It's a bit of an intelligence test. If you find us in any of those formats, then congratulations. You win the chance to see what's there.
Nodoisky.com.
We need to buy that. Somebody buy that fast.
Release hats.
That's a huge one.
We could do a member guest Nodoisky.
If you guys start a production company, it's got to be Nodoisky. Just a 50-year-old guy on a skateboard.
That's a logo.
That's a logo.
Yeah, just that old guy. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. May your drives fly straight and your guitars stay tuned now and forever. Adios.
Thank you very much. This was a fun time.
I never lost my back.
I hope so. No, I learned a lot of valuable golf lessons.
Be yourself. Swing your unathletic swing.